this from A Course in Miracles and related material, you're going to probably find hard to believe. And you might say, well, that's hard to believe. So you find yourself going, that's hard to believe. And you know that's what I said, that you might say it's hard to believe. Okay, because new means different. New means different. New means different. So when you say you want to hear something new, you're saying you want to hear something different. So if I'm not saying something different, then it probably isn't something new. So when you hear someone say something new, it's a good chance some of it is not going to correspond with what you already believe, which is what makes it new. Everybody with me on that? Okay, so new means what?
Different.
Okay, so some of it may be startling, like you weren't expecting to hear that. The other thing that the Course says is that you're not asked to judge the ideas at all. So you're not really here today to do it. So I'd like to invite everyone to take their robes off. Okay, those who are ready to judge. Now, I'm here to see if this is correct or accurate, or is it a cult, is it a church, is it a, what is it? What the hell is it? I just want to know. So, I'm here to judge. Thank you. The funny thing about any idea of truth is that unless you live by it, you don't experience the world that's promised you. So you never really experience any of the things that you're studying in various books until they are lived by you. Until they are lived by you, you will just have some ideas in your mind that may give you some comfort. But the ideas won't add, but you'll notice your life is essentially exactly the same, but you just handle it a little bit better than you used to. That's not the same as having a brand new world. That's not the same as having a brand new life. We are trying to go into a brand new life that is based on the idea of unity and union and oneness, where we have been in a world that the foundation was based on separation and differences and fear. So we're trying to go from a fear-based reality to a love-based reality. The first thing that the Course suggests that you do in order to get there the fastest is to resign as your own teacher. Mm-hmm. Give them notice. Give you notice that you're quitting. The Course's premise is, instead of teaching yourself, let yourself teach you. Most people are trying to teach themselves. They go to classes to teach themselves. They read books to teach themselves. But the Course is saying you have a self, and that self is greater than anything that you can imagine. And it's just beyond your beliefs about yourself. And to let that divine self, that God self, that Christ self, that child of God self, first of all, I just want to tell you that please feel free to transpose any words that I say into a form that works for you. If the word Christ trips you out because you haven't forgiven your thought about what that means, then change it to love, because the Course in Miracles is only talking about love or fear. That's it. So you can always transpose anything from, if you hear a word, to change it to, that's all we're talking about. We're here because we want to go from a fear-based reality to a love-based reality. And that calls for more fun. I'm going to break it to you, but it means you got to lighten up. Okay. It means you got to let some joy and some affection and some abundance and some healing and some health and some wealth and some goodness and some life and some joy come through. I hate to tell you that, but that's right. You can't sag your way into happiness. It's a plan that's very popular with people. I'll be so miserable, I'll just turn happy. You know, just one day I'll just be happy. So anyway, I'm going to play a little song to start off with as the theme of my class. And then while I do that, I'm going to say a few of the lessons from the Course in Miracles workbook. I want to invite you to just relax and let your mind go wherever you want it to go. And there's no right way or wrong way to do this, but I think it's great when we can have some music to kind of bring us together. Hmm. All my classes are filled up with cute people, but this is an exceptional day.
Thank you.
It's just cuteness everywhere. I'm just being. Well, look up, there's cuteness behind me.
Got your back.
Though. Got my back. I know. You know, it's that's what I love about you, brother. Because that you do have my back. And I got yours too, because I know who you are. You are me in a juicy white body.
Amen.
I know. Okay. I'll be with you in just a second. My classes are quite spontaneous. Okay. So I want you to just breathe through this, and I'd like you to pay attention to the words. It's a very holy song. Temptations, and I think we need to realize that the past is over, and the only thing that's holding you back and holding me back right now is a focus on the past, a focus on fear. So today I'm going to continue the part we've been talking about the last few weeks about fear and conflict. And so if you got the book, it's on, we're going to be on page 30 in the text, part of the Course in Miracles. And what I'm going to do is read through it and then see if we can get the practical application of the idea in our physical reality. And I'm starting off with the paragraph that says, first of all, I'm going to do a quick review and tell you what the Course in Miracles says that fear comes from. Fear comes from doing a lot of things at the same time that you don't really want to do. And it comes from doing one, from behaving the way you think you should without really wanting to. So the Course says those are the two things that make fear. Behaving the way you think you should without really wanting to, or doing a bunch of things that conflict all the time. So if you're going to a job you really don't want to go to, you're in a relationship you really don't want to be in, you're acting in a way you really don't want to act, you're being a way you really don't want to be, if your day consists of doing things all day that you don't really want to do, even if at the same time or one after the other, the Course says the only thing that's happening all day is that you're creating conflict and fear. If you're building the consciousness of conflict and fear, you're building the consciousness of conflict and fear. Our outer reality is a reflection of our consciousness. It's our consciousness and our thought and our predominating feelings and emotions that determine what we experience and what we perceive. So a consciousness that's being filled with strain and fear is a consciousness that produces struggle and upset and depression and anger and lack of fulfillment. So if you're experiencing any of those things, you ain't doing what you want to do most of the time. So the Course says the way that you get out of that is to realize that the more that you do something that you really don't want to do, or you behave in a way you really don't want to behave, it makes you feel coerced. And then this produces rage, and then when a person feels a lot of rage, then they project and they attack. So by the time attack happens, the person is already repressed a long, long time, behaving the way that they think they should without really wanting to. So one of the best things you can do for safety in any of your relationships is always give the people around you a safe space, hold a space for them to vent and to let go of anything that's going on inside of them that they need to communicate without you feeling defensive or trying to fix them or trying to correct them. And just, even if it's about you, which is going to make it really hard when it's about you, you really want to jump in and defend. And in true spiritual power is to hear something totally untrue or true, but untrue about yourself and still maintain your center and don't lose it simply because you know that if it's something unloving, is not true.
Yay.
Okay. So when you do that, the person isn't behaving the way they think they should without wanting to. They're learning that it's okay for them to communicate. Behind any distorted perception is the truth. So if they can get it out, they usually end up saying something like, well, you know, I know it kind of went off, but I'm kind of seeing what's going on now. You've done it yourself a million times. You go off, and then after you go off, you go, maybe I could have done that a little bit differently. So if you can create a space for people to communicate, where when they're with you, they can be authentic. When they're with you, they can be who they are. When they're with you, they don't feel like they're being judged. Then you're with a person that will ultimately be the safest person you could ever be around. If you are a person that always needs to control others and make others act out your script, or if you withdraw your love from them, then you teach them that they can't be honest and open with you. That sends them into a pattern of behavior where they're behaving with you the way they think they should without really wanting to. Brings up a little sense of coercion. They get madder and madder, and one day you land in the bed, you open your eye, and there's a dagger. And you in the shower, it's like the Alfred Hitchcock movie, you know. They took as much as they can, you know. So even though it may make you feel powerful to feel like you're controlling people out of fear, all you're doing is creating conflict for yourself, changing your consciousness to a lower vibration, and then attracting more things to you to bring unhappiness into your own life, because your outer reality is nothing but a reflection of your consciousness, because everything in your life passes through you, and as it passes through you, you think your job is to give a meaning to it. And so you're giving meaning to everything that comes along, which is your personal evaluation and interpretation of the situation, which if it's not based on love, none of it is based on the truth. And then people wonder why they're upset and they don't really enjoy the people in their lives. If something comes to you that you don't quite understand and you can't really discern the meaning, what the next thing that the truth teaches is that you take that thing, instead of letting it pass through your life so that nothing is blocked and you got this free flow, you take the thing that you don't quite understand and you send it over to the side for later evaluation. So we spend time collecting thoughts that we won't let flow through. And then wonder why we get depressed. Because if I let it go through, it's gone. So keep in mind that if you behave like you think you should without really wanting to, it may give you consistent behavior, but it's not obliterating your fear. You still have the fear. The fear is still creating a distorted perception of reality for you, because you are an unlimited spiritual being that is having a human experience by your own choice. You chose to be here, you chose to be in a body, you chose to be the sex you are, you chose to have the family you got. Can I prove any of that? No. Because you can't prove anything that sounds theoretical. But what I can do is right here and now give you a safe place to be without being attacked. That I can do. I can join with you for the purpose of us having peace together, loving each other. That I can do. So what's real is always something you can do right now. The rest of it is just theoretical issues that are just at best controversial, and they just delay us. While we're all trying to figure out whose theory is the correct theory, we could be checking out the Dark Knight. You know what I'm saying? Checking out what Brother Heath did before he left. You know what I'm saying? So it's all about don't get caught up in theoretical stuff, because it's just a way to waste your life and waste time. So you want to get rid of fear.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the Course says it's possible to reach a state in which you bring your mind under the guidance of God without effort, but it implies a willingness you haven't developed yet. Okay. It says now, God or the Holy Spirit can't ask you to do more than you're willing to do. Now, again, remember, I'm just telling you what the Course says, which may not be what you believe or what you were taught. So we're clear on that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to necessarily say what you believe. Okay, the Course in Miracles teaches that each one of us has the loving right mind of Spirit, God, Holy Spirit within us. All of us do. All of us have that love within us. And that our inner guide would never ask us to do something we weren't willing to do, because then it wouldn't get done. So our inner guide is smart. It asks us to do what we'll do. That way you get it done. Then it says, the ones who make an undivided decision, because you're not going to be asked to do anything that you're not willing to do, so you'll be willing to do it, then you'll have strength, because strength comes from an undivided decision. What one does not have the strength and motivation to do is just the thing the person has not made an undivided decision to do. So whatever you haven't made an undivided decision to do is what you procrastinate about, what you have not done. It just means a decision has not been made, an undivided decision to do it. So if you don't have the strength to do something, it must not be what you really want to do. If it's what you really want to do, you will have the strength to do it. So if you want to isolate the things in your life from what you want to do, from what you want to do, from what you don't want to do, it's what you have the motivation, inspiration, and strength to do. That's what you would do. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to convince my ego so that we can be on the same page.
Yeah.
Or undivided.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
And what's happening? How's it going for you? How's it working? Okay, all right, okay. So, and what's your question about that?
Well, so if that's not how I do it, how do I get an undivided decision, given that my ego is going to...
Well, have you ever made an undivided decision to do something, even if somebody else wouldn't do it? Okay, that's the answer. You know, it's like, okay, there are two choices before me. The choice of the part of myself that doesn't love me, the choice of the part of myself that wants me to be free. I'm going to make an undivided decision to join with the part of me that wants to be free, while realizing that there's a part of me that doesn't want to be free. But I'm going to follow the instructions of the one that wants me to be free. So I'll hear the part of me that doesn't want to be free say the same old stuff like it's always said to jam me up. But this time, instead of letting it direct me, I'm going to go to my truth, whatever that truth is, and then I'm going to follow that. And that's how you get past your ego.
Cool.
Okay? You don't... You acknowledge me, you're just acknowledging yourself. That's all I am. You. And really, you're acknowledging the truth. It's not really me. This is just a learning device. I know it's cute, but we can have cute learning devices. I am not my body. I am not my body. My body is my learning device given to me by God to be created and to remember who I am here. It's my way of communicating with you guys. Without my body, nobody would listen to me. If y'all were hearing the voice and there was nobody here, I bet you most of these people would be in this room right now. They would be completely out of here in 2 seconds if there was not a body accompanying this voice. Okay, so that's why I have a body. That's why you have one. I confused you with your body for years and years and years and years, especially women. Still going to get confused from time to time. The only difference is not me, women that don't mind. See the difference? I'm not my body. But my body is a means of communicating and getting across messages to other people who aren't bodies, who think they're bodies, that they're not either. So I'm using my body to reach you through your body to reach your mind. That's all the thing that's happening. Okay? And the ego is just a part of you that identifies with being this body. So it's the you that has the social security number. That is your ego. Okay. You want to know the one who's the ego? The ego, or the part that thinks is separate from God or separate from truth, is the part that thinks is looking out through the body's eyes. So if you have a part of you that thinks you're looking out into the room, you're actually looking out through your ego. And your ego is nothing but all the past learnings and experiences that you've had up to this moment that you use to discern what's happening. Did you follow that?
Yeah.
So when I say your ego, so as you look out, all you're looking at is your past reactions to everything that's ever happened to you since you were born, and then you are reacting to it based on your reactions to it. But that doesn't mean that's necessarily what's happening. As a matter of fact, there's not a more distorted way of seeing things than you giving your personal meanings to everything that happens to you and then thinking that's what's really happening. You can't get no more distorted than your perception in that. That's wacko. Okay? But that's what we do. It's the most natural thing in the world. Because we think unless we judge everything that's happening through our own personal experience, then we won't know what's going on. So in order to convince ourselves that we know what's going on, we judge everything we see so that we'll think we know what's going on. Because the scariest thought of all is that you don't have the slightest idea what's going on. Nobody in here does. None of us have a slight. Every day, every morning you wake up to a complete unknown. And you pretend it's not by making up what you think wants to happen that day. And then trying to get everything to conform to that, whether it wants to or not. And who doesn't conform to that script gets a grievance. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Is this too real, or do I need to talk about manifesting a car? Okay, all right.
Keep going on.
Okay, all right. So what I'm telling you is that you're powerful, and you're not alone, and you're more than you think you are, and no matter what problem you think you have, it's already been solved. And there is only one problem, and there is only one solution, and the only problem is a grievance, and the only answer is a miracle. The only problem is thinking we're separate, and the only answer is knowing that we're united. And that answer will then reverberate or echo to what you call your financial situation, your job situation, your health situation, your car situation. That would just be the echo of recognizing the truth. But you don't go straight for the echo. You go for the voice. You know, you fall in love with the echo, you're missing the point. You got to fall in love with the voice, right?
Right.
So the Course then says there's no strain in doing God's will as soon as you recognize it's yours. I love this book. There's no strain in doing what I say as soon as you recognize that's what you want to do too. If you recognize that you want to go to the movie too, then there's no strain in going to the movie with me and following the suggestion I made to go to the movie. As soon as you decide it's your will too, there's no strain. So what we can call not going to do the will of God is the same as saying that I don't really know that the will of God is for my own best interest. Somehow I think following the will of God is going to keep me from experiencing something that I won't experience. And somehow it represents some kind of a lack. That's why I don't even like that idea of doing God's will, because it seems like it's going to ask me to do something that I don't want to do. Or it's going to leave out a lot of stuff I like to do that I've read God in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? That's exactly what it is. So I'm really confused about is what God's will is. I think God is asking for sacrifice. I think the Creator is asking for some form of sacrifice, and I don't want to do it. But the truth is, you're the only one that's asking for sacrifice, and you're the one that's demanding sacrifice of yourself. Nobody's demanding sacrifice of you. You're doing it.
Doggone it.
And the weird thing about all that sacrifice is that it doesn't work. And that really makes you mad. You know, I sacrificed everything for you. Well, I'm glad I had an opportunity to give you the lesson and never sacrifice him again. You should be thanking me. You know? So those of you out there sacrificing, I don't know how to break this to you, but it's not going to work. It's not going to work. There's no way you're going to do anything but build resentment when you sacrifice. That's all you build with sacrifice. Because sacrifice means I'm doing something that I don't really want to do. Like it takes us right back to the original premise, doesn't it? I'm doing something. What do you mean sacrifice? Well, I really don't want to be working these 70 hours a week for you, so I'm sacrificing. But the parent who goes out and I work 70 hours a week for my children and my family, and I didn't mind it because I love them and I love doing whatever is necessary for them to be provided for. That person is not sacrificing 70 hours a week. Because it's what they want to do. So the difference between sacrifice and non-sacrifice is whether you're doing it because you want to, or you're doing it anyway but you think you're losing as a result. And if you are, you're not really giving love. The Course says you're really attacking, because you just build enough fear and separation and anger, which will produce rage at some point, and you're going to expect them to sacrifice for you. So then it becomes a bargain of, well, look what I gave up for you, then you don't have to give this up for me. If I gave this up, then you go into what the Course calls bargains made with guilt, which he says is what our special relationships are. They're just bargains. It's not really love, it's just a bargain. Made with guilt. And I said, what do you mean made with guilt? Well, it's like the Betty Crocker of spirit. You know, it's like, it's a bargain made with guilt. You better keep this bargain, I'll make you feel guilty. You better do this, and I'm going to make you feel guilty. It's a bargain made with guilt. Or, I'm going to feel guilty. It's a bargain. It's not love, it's a bargain. So, anyway, does that startle you?
Yeah.
Do you see yourself doing it in certain areas?
Sure.
Okay, so if you do see yourself doing any of the things that I've described, please don't believe that making yourself feel guilty is the way out of guilt. So if you're going, I'm asking everybody to sacrifice, and I know if they do that, I'm taking my arm. They may not do that to me. I got a bargain here. And then you feel bad when you hear the truth. That's your ego, your old self, interpreting the truth. Because you learned in the past to blame yourself and make yourself bad when you think you've done something wrong. So it's just an automatic reaction to old faulty learning that you're trying to let go of. So when you hear a truth and then you make yourself feel bad, that is an example of your old fear-based teaching interpreting the truth that you just heard, which is saying, feel bad about it, something's wrong with you, condemn yourself for not being as loving as you should be or sacrificing or wanting other people to sacrifice. That's the old system. The new system is based on innocence and guiltlessness, while the old system is based on guilt and sin. The new system is based on just the opposite.
Well,
and you can't get to the opposite by yourself because you're the one that made up the system of guilt and sin that you're subscribing to. So the guilty mind cannot take itself on an innocent journey. It wouldn't know how to do it. It would just scare itself. So that's why when people get on the spiritual path, a lot of times they scare themselves because the part of them that's least spiritual is the one that's trying to guide them. The part that's most in fear is the part that's saying, I want to love everybody. The part that feels the most guilty is the one that's saying, I want to learn how to be innocent today. And the Course is saying, I'm sorry, there's another you that you don't know about. That's the one that's being taught. The one that made up the guilty you to begin with is the one that's being taught by the truth. Not the part of you that thinks it's guilty. Not the part of you that thinks it's separate. I'm not even talking to that part of you. I'm saying that there's another part of you that you don't know about that I'm talking about and that I'm talking to. I'm talking to the part of you that made up the way you see yourself, not the part of you that believes it is how you made yourself up to be. That's the part you can't convince. So don't even try. I'm not talking to the part of you that already thinks you crap. I'm not talking to the part of you that already believes that it could never be a prosperous, abundant, loving person. I'm not even concerned with that part of you. It's not my interest at all. Who I'm talking to is the part of you that made up that image about yourself. Because that's you, the Christ self. It's totally human, totally divine. You see what I'm saying? You know, sometimes one picture is worth a thousand words. And I never let my subject matter get in the way of what I got to say. Okay. So, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, there's you, and then the way you see yourself, right? You see yourself like this, and then you think you're that, and then you build a whole world based on who you think you are.
Yeah.
That's who's sitting in the chair. But there's a you don't know about that made up who you think you are. That's the you that's being taught in the class. Because what it's going to do is make up a new perception based on the truth. And this world will be as real and as opposite to the one that's causing you fear as you could possibly imagine. But it will be coming from the part of you that loves you as opposed to coming from the part of you that thinks that you don't deserve love. So we're only working with the cause of your experience in the Course in Miracles, and we're not at all dealing with the effects that you are experiencing in your day-to-day life, because those effects are coming from the perception you've made up. So we don't even need to deal with that, because the once you cut the flashlight off, you don't have to worry about the room becoming dark. In other words, the once you change the cause, the effect automatically shifts. so to spend all our time dealing with what happened. I pay that $4 a gallon gas. Well, to remember that, first of all, that you are innocent, that you are a child of God, that you're not a victim of your experience, that you made it up, that you are an abundant being, but somehow or another you've lost the awareness of that through doing what you don't want to do all day, believing that you're separate, and dealing with trying to believe that you're not the all-powerful being that you're being told you are. All of those perceptions are what ultimately create, I don't have no money for gas.
Yeah.
So I don't really teach on the level that most people think their problem is on. That's why it's hard for people sometimes to stick with A Course in Miracles. Because I'm dealing with the real cause, and most of the time the world just teach you to get another Band-Aid. Let me give you another Band-Aid, you know. I'm not giving out Band-Aids. I'm telling you that you are powerful beyond your greatest imagination.
Thank you.
Okay?
Woo!
That's what you are. Do you believe it? Well, I don't know. It kind of seemed like a little bit to question about that in my perception. You know? And that's okay, because it doesn't make any difference whether you believe it or not. It doesn't make any difference whether or not you believe you're powerful or not. You are. See, that's how you get past the block, is to realize you're that way whether you believe it or not. Then the block can't stop you if you believe you're that way whether you believe it or not. If you tell yourself you have to believe it in order for it to be true, then you stop at that point of spending all your time trying to make yourself believe something you don't believe, which is a delay on the journey. See, there's a part on the journey that you get in touch with the power of your belief, and then there's a stage of the journey that you let go of your beliefs, and your belief that your beliefs can stop you. And that's where people that get into the course. They're at that point in their spiritual development where they want to get back in touch with their identity again. And the way they want to get back in touch with their identity is first to get their perception of everything corrected, and then to start to live who they really are in the physical world. And you can live your true spiritual identity in the physical world and experience bliss and joy and abundance and union and everything you ever dreamed of, and a flat screen. There's nothing about the spiritual path that's asking you to sacrifice the pleasures of the world. There are no pleasures of the world.
Yeah, that's good.
That may sound deep, but you'll find it out one day. But does that mean you won't have? No, you have real pleasure. You have the pleasure that comes from giving and receiving love and watching it come back to you from every single thing in your environment and everybody in your environment and all the joy that comes with that. You would be amazed at how much more you're going to enjoy your friends when you're not judging them, and they know that and they feel safe in your presence. They're going to reveal things to you and aspects of themselves that they never could when you were judging. That would be so much fun, it's going to blow your mind. So you start to see aspects of everybody you know that you never dreamed existed, that will thrill you to your soul as you begin to practice the new thought system about going to real pleasure. And real pleasure is a pleasure that doesn't come and go.
Wow.
That's the difference. That's the difference.
That was funny.
I'm so glad you put your learning devices lips on my learning devices head. That was so good. Thank you. All right. Oh, I could have run away with that so good, but I'll wait till my advanced class before I crack that joke. Okay. Because sometimes, you know, our beliefs in right and wrong keep us from experiencing everything. Because we're so busy judging it all. And whatever you judge is something that you block the light from. That you can't experience it the way you want to.
I love that.
So, the Course says, any comments, any questions about anything that I've said so far?
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. No, and that's cool. I like it. I love questions. I love comments. I love ahas. I love, you don't have to agree. That's okay. That gives me a chance to practice accepting someone having a different point of view. That's cool. Because I don't need to be in front of the class if everybody needs to agree with me. That's just another form of control. Oh, yeah. Because something else Spirit told me to tell you. Whenever you say, you say you're going to make a new change. You start to go through the disorientation and all the shifts that start to happen, and it scares you because you really are seeing things change. And then you go, I'm going to take control. I think I'm going to take control of this. Okay? When you ever you say, I need to take control of this, what you're saying is, I need to act out of my old beliefs now. That's all it means. Because if you're trying to learn something new to go into a new direction, but you haven't learned it yet, which means you don't know how to use that thought system yet, and you say, I better take control again, you're saying that I should go back to the thinking that I was using that produced the thing that I'm trying to get changed. And guess what you're saying? And I need to go back to the thinking that produced the thing that I'm trying to change. That's what I need to get in control means. Especially when you start to move towards something new. Because when you move towards something new, you're going to get confused, disoriented, things are going to start shifting and changing, and you're going to start freaking out a little bit because change actually is happening. So your change means change. I want to go back to the way it was, but that's not change. That's fear.
Yeah.
That's fear. That's why if you scare somebody, they have much greater chance of just sticking with things the way they are, or just trying to go back to the past. So fear doesn't tend to generate I'm ready for something new so much as I think I tried the old one more time. So the course is teaching you that only your mind can produce fear. Your mind produces fear whenever your mind is in conflict about what it wants. And when you're in conflict about what you want, it produces strain because what you want to do and what you're doing is discordant. The only way you can correct this is to accept a unified goal. If I'm split, then I need to accept one goal. Now the Course says, here's the goal that I suggest for you. Peace.
Wow.
My goal is peace. My goal is love. My goal is peace. I don't care what's happening in my life right now, what I want is peace. I don't care who I'm with right now, what I want is peace. I don't care where I work right now, what I want is peace. I don't care how my body looks right now, what I want is peace. I don't care what my financial situation is right now, what I want is peace. I don't care how I'm feeling about this day, what I want is a unified goal, and a unified goal is peace, is love, is peace, peace, freedom. Now what is peace? It's not sitting in a cave contemplating your navel. Peace is total fulfillment, according to the Course. That you're only feeling peace when you're feeling completely fulfilled from within. You don't feel like there's nothing missing. That's peace. I'm completely fulfilled. I'm totally fulfilled. That's my one goal, is total fulfillment. My one goal is peace. Now, what's the importance of setting the goal? Well, the goal determines the outcome. What does that mean? Everything in the physical world conforms to the goal that you've set. So if you got a unified goal and that goal is peace, then and you're sincere about it, everything in your reality will start to try to arrange itself so that you only experience peace. It's an automatic reaction of the universe to a goal or purpose.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, so what's the problem? What's the problem? The problem is we focus on how to achieve the peace.
Uh-huh.
More than focusing on my purpose is peace. The how is none of your business. The how is none of your business. But the goal, you must decide. So it's the focus on my purpose that's more important than how I'm going to achieve it, because if I focus on my purpose, the way to achieve it will start to present itself as a law of the universe. So if a way out of your situation has not been presenting itself, you are not undivided on your goal. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means a part of you thinks you deserve to be happy and a part of you doesn't. You haven't made an undivided decision that you deserve love.
Yeah.
You're still thinking that that love is somehow based on something outside of yourself, giving you some form of approval or some form of self-esteem before you feel good about yourself. That's an undivided goal, and that sends you into a state of mind that things are not presented to you that will solve your problems naturally. Or something like that.
I know what.
Then
I automatically know how.
The how will automatically start to take care of itself, and then you have to just be alert. And it's easier to be alert to the things that are being presented to allow you to have what you want if you know what you want.
So I don't need to worry about how. I just need to worry about what is I really, really want.
You just need not to worry. Or see your worry as a request for non-worry.
Okay.
See your worry, see whatever you call the negative emotion or feeling as a request for its opposite, and that's how you turn negatives into positives. So if I see fear as a call for love, then I am getting rid of my fear, because now my fear has become a prayer for the very thing that will dissolve it. So instead of saying I feel afraid all day, I could say I had a deep call for love all day. So then fear became a prayer. It became a request to the universe that cannot fail to be answered, because there's no such thing as a child of God having any kind of need that is not met or fulfilled instantly. Now, your willingness to see that, your willingness to let go of the blocks that keep you from experiencing that is up to you. But everything you want is already here waiting for you to recognize it, and that's how you have things instantly, because you can always have something instantly that's already there. Let me show you. I would love to have my eyeglasses. Wow! Don't see that? I would love to have an eraser. Ask for what you already have. Ask to be able to recognize what you already have is how you have things now. You don't go after it from the perspective that it's lacking, because then you're trying to achieve something that you don't believe exists. And most people are doing that. They're trying to be rich because they believe they're poor. They're trying to get a relationship because they believe they don't have one. So if you're coming from the core belief that you don't have it, why are you surprised that when you seek it, you don't find it? The minute you say you want it, it was created in that instant. Now all you have to do is get rid of everything in your perception that keeps you from seeing it.
Wow.
What is it that keeps you from seeing it? Everything you've taught yourself, everything you've learned, and everything you believe about yourself. Sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah.
Not really, because you really haven't made anything real. All you've made is an image. You are real, but what you think about yourself isn't. You are real. You're awesome. You just learned some lessons that taught you you weren't. You're spectacular. You just learned some things that taught you that you weren't. And now you're seeing them because you're a creator, and you've forgotten you're a creator. So you've forgotten that whatever you believe, you see. So you need somebody who sees the truth about you while you've forgotten about it. That's your savior. That's what a savior does. A savior is a person who remembers how cool you are when you think you aren't. Not somebody who reminds you that you are just the slob you think you are. which most people get to be their mates.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be that way, but that's usually what people do. They hire somebody to remind them that they're a slob all the time, and they'll call it their partner. This is what's wrong with you, and this is what's wrong with you, and you need to change this, and you need to change that, and this is what's wrong with you, and this is what you need to change, and this is what is right about you, and if you would just do this, things would be better. They actually make sure that they keep the erroneous beliefs that they have about themselves by falling in love with witnesses to their lack of worthiness. So if you don't love yourself, you'll never be attracted to somebody that'll treat you right. It's almost impossible that a person that has low self-esteem will be attracted to someone who acknowledges them. They have to be attracted to the person who resonates to what they believe about themselves. And that's why you see so many people in miserable relationships that they can't get out of, and they wonder why they stay stuck there, even though they know they're miserable in that relationship, even if it was a job, not necessarily a person. It's because that person is witnessing back to them what they subconsciously believe about themselves, and they believe that person is right, and they got a witness to what they really think. And since they know it's in themselves, they can't get away from it because it's themselves. And that explains why you can't get out of a situation that you don't need to be in. That situation is reflecting back to you what you believe you deserve. And as long as you think you deserve it, you'll come up with an excuse to stay there. As long as you think you deserve it, you'll come up with a million reasons why you need to stay in that job, in that relationship, or in that state of mind. And no matter what somebody tells you, you go to a million classes and you go, well, what? But you just can't. What? You know, I've had so many years, I just couldn't let it go. So with a person like that, what you do is remember for them that they deserve to be in happy relationships, respect their right to choose, and then bless them as they go about giving themselves one path of learning, which is called the extremes of the human experience. Some souls choose to learn through the extremes of the human experience, through extreme joy and extreme pain, and that is a spiritual path, but it's not the only spiritual path. There is another path that is no pain at all. So some souls go, did the extreme of human experience path, been there, done that, think I've done that enough now, I want to learn through total fulfillment.
Yeah.
Oh, you do? Yes. Well, the first thing you have to do if you want to learn through total fulfillment is to recognize you made up what you've already gone through. And it wasn't God's will for you to suffer, so that you can start turning to your Creator instead of believing that your Creator is the reason why you're going through so much stuff, as some form of test to see if you are the way you should be. Nothing's testing you. God isn't testing you. Nothing's testing you. It's just another opportunity for you to prove to yourself how good you are at solving your problems. Did you know that? What you call a test is just nothing but, here's another one for me to overcome. The first time Truth told me that, I went, wow, that is so deep. No, it's just your ego. You just want something else for you to prove how strong you are, or how much you can struggle. Nothing in the universe is asking you to go through that. It's your own. You know, it's like, how many of you all today spent 15 minutes this morning consciously hoping that and plotting and planning for somebody else's horrible day? How many of you woke up this morning thinking of the people you wanted to sacrifice and go through pain for you, and that was your goal? I bet you know none of you did. So I'm telling you that nobody's sitting around blocking you. You have no enemy. There's nobody that's trying to do anything to stop you from having what you want. Except that if you're afraid to have it, you form a relationship with someone who you use as an excuse for the block. That you yourself are afraid to go beyond. So they become the reason why you can't do it.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So no matter what you do, all you have to do now is make a decision today that even though you don't know how, even though you're confused and you're disoriented and you know you want something new but you don't know exactly how it's going to happen, make the undivided decision to dedicate yourself to union, to dedicate yourself to peace, to dedicate yourself to your happiness, to your love, to your innocence, to your oneness, to your joy. That when I walk out of here today, even though I don't know how to do it, I'm going to say, I have reached my limit of this pain. I've reached my limit of this fear. I've reached my limit of this dissatisfaction. And I am now setting the goal to remember who I really am, my real identity, where I really came from and what I really am, so that I can watch my world change in an instant. I don't know how to do that, but I don't have to do it alone. So my job now is to get rid of anything within my consciousness that keeps me from hearing my own inner guidance coming from spirit within me. And all of my work is going to be about getting the blocks out of the way to the awareness of the presence of love inside of me.
Wow.
And then watch your life change.
Oh, wow.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Can we acknowledge you, brother? I mean, you know what I'm saying. I mean, this is a chance for you to check somebody out. Yeah. You got a little bit of money to do it. But hands up on. I teach the Course in Miracles full time on a donation basis because I trust that God and you will share if you find it valuable. And if you don't, you see a beautiful innocent. And I'm going to pass the love off. I want to say for about 30 seconds while you all are passing it around. And anybody that wants to join me, it's called our prayer for abundance. And it goes, take a breath. And then, so think about what you're giving. Think about what you're giving. Bless what you're giving. And tell yourself, all that I give is given to myself. I am sustained by the love of God. Didn't make sense to me, but it seemed to make sense to everybody else. And I was like going, how can the way we act and treat each other and relate, how can any of this make any sense, you know? And so I thought I was weird because I always was marching to the beat of a different drama. And it feels really good to feel like I'm surrounded by other people who also realize that maybe there is another way to look at it other than the way that I've been taught to look at it, you know? And there is. There is. So this is a time for us just to do a little communion. So sometimes if you close your eyes and just focus in on my voice and the music, it'll kind of help to go into you a little bit more.
I bless myself. Well, I bless the world.
outside the program itself. Can you do it? Can you do it? Can you play? Available. I love you. See you next time.